My wife has given me some very specific instructions. I did have my first three-month checkup with the doctor after treatments in July, and glad to report everything is looking clear. Thank you so much for your prayer and your support. I am feeling very well. Thank you so much, church family. I have another set of tests in January, and see where that goes. I also want to say thank you to our praise team. Jason, I accept your apology, even though it's not needed. Ben, that was another one of your songs, huh? Excellent. We are so blessed. Thank you. That was a great song. Just expressing praise. Thank you, friends. Appreciate the work of our team. I don't even worry about the platform. They make sure it's all covered and ready for Sunday. I try to get information to them on time. And I appreciate their work. Appreciate the work of our board of stewards, Cindy, Dolores, Michelle, and Donna, coordinating Servant Sunday this year. Just they took it on themselves and did all of the planning. Looking forward to that. Thank you. So I got a question for you. Keep in mind this scripture passage that we just heard, a teaching of Jesus. We'll come back to that in just a moment. But a question for you. What are God's plans for Autumn Marie? You have any idea what God's plans for Autumn Marie are? A lot of dreams. What are God's plans? I ask questions. What are God's plans for me as I face retirement in within another year and a half? What am I going to do? About time I think I've got an idea, something comes up. I wonder what God's plans are. Well, what are God's plans for New Cumberland Church of the Nazarene? Big question. But I want to take this the next step today. What are God's plans for each one of you? What are God's plans for you? This triggers a bigger set of questions for me because, you know, plans have a way of getting interrupted by life. As you read scriptures, there's even some plans of God for certain people that get interrupted by life. That's just the way things go. So let me bump this to a little bigger level. What's God's design for New Cumberland Church of the Nazarene? We are electing a two-year board that will give us guidance, pastoral leadership succession, give us guidance. And so the questions are not just pull things to an end, it's where do we go from here? And we're beginning that process early, and I see it as a two-and-a-half-year process of just the transition. What's God's design for New Cumberland Church in the Nazarene? But as we do that, what is God's design for each one of us? Not just as a part of this church, what's God's design for you as a purpose, as a person? What's God's design? You see, the Bible is a story of God, isn't it? It's a story that starts with creation and closes by looking forward to the fulfillment of God's design, kingdom of heaven. Each story in between those two points, beginning and looking on into the future. Even that is not an end, it's a looking into the future, isn't it? Stories illustrate the way God has worked with women and men and families and nations to fulfill his grand design course, the crowning story of the Bible is the story of Jesus. Virgin birth, public ministry, horrific crucifixion, glorious resurrection, and ascension into heaven. But I've got a concern for us, each one of us. Becoming all God designed us to be. Becoming all God designed us to be. A church, individuals. And there's a sense in which we are always becoming. And I'm using Letter to the Colossians in the New Testament as a manual for this pursuit. We looked at it last week, and the author's objective is to present us to God, perfect in Christ. And we looked at that last week, perfect in Christ. That's sort of a stretching term, but it's also a very positive, because God is shaping. He is guiding. His design is not a set of laws that you must fulfill in order to make it to heaven. It's grace of God in which He is shaping us one degree at a time to fulfilling that design. Now, in that first chapter, the Apostle Paul expresses a prayer for the Colossian church, a prayer that's a prayer for each one of us and for all of us as one church, and it's found in the first chapter, the 9th through the 14th verses. Here's the prayer. I already read it once, but we're going to do it again. So, we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of His will and give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. We also pray that you will be strengthened with all His glorious power so that you will have all the endurance and patience you need. That's an important one. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you, He has enabled us to share in the inheritance that belongs to His people who live in the light, for He has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness. He has transferred us into the kingdom of His dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. I wonder what would happen if we really directed this prayer for us and accepted it as a prayer for us. May God grant us complete knowledge of His will, along with spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that we might honor and please the Lord, that we might produce fruit in every good work, that we might grow in the knowledge of God, that we might be strengthened with His glorious power, and we might be filled with joy. I wonder what would happen if we let God do that in us. The question is not God's ability. The question is our receptivity. And this brings in that teaching of Jesus. I am the vine, you're the branches. We saw it beautifully produced as we looked at those beautiful grapes and apples and fruit. Jesus said, you stay connected in me and I will flow through you and we together will produce fruit. The issue is our receptivity. It's not God's ability. So let's just look at some of these fruits, products. I wonder what would happen if we would make them our vision statement as a church. honoring and pleasing the Lord, producing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened by His glorious power, and being filled with joy. I wonder what would happen if we would make that our vision statement over these next 2 years. Sounds sort of neat, doesn't it? Well, let's look at them. Honor and please the Lord. May God give us complete knowledge of His will, along with spiritual wisdom and understanding, so we might honor and please Him. And the apostle picks this same theme up in the third chapter. Whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Everything. What does your facial expression display? Say, I got to put on a fake front? No, I'm asking you to be real from the inside, from the gut out. Because it comes from knowing God and letting His will be done through us. What would we happen if we lived and ministered as a church of the Nazarene, Jesus of Nazareth? I just wonder what things would look like. The second statement, producing fruit in some good work, occasional good work, or every good work. You say, every's too much because there's some days I don't feel like it. Guess what? There's some days I don't feel like it. But that's not the vision statement. Filled with the knowledge of God and His Spirit, producing fruit in every good work. And the Apostle Paul is very clear, because our question is, okay, what is the fruit? Well, it's very clear. He states it in the letter to the Galatians. Love, joy, peace. Persistence, kindness, generosity. Faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Got it? Now, many of us have memorized that somewhere in Bible school, and so we just sort of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and we move on. When's the last time we stopped and that's what God wants to produce? That's the fruit. Where He's the vine, we're the branches, and that's the fruit that we're to be producing. Well, the ancient prophet Isaiah put it this way, the fruit of righteousness, which is quietness and confidence. In fact, Isaiah says, the fruit of righteousness will be peace. And if you read his writing, it's written in a really difficult day. Political chaos, confusion, threats by terrorist powers from the outside, division of the nation. All the things we complain about today were there just in different forms. Fruit of righteousness is peace. Read an interview, Christianity Today this week, with Nancy Reitbold, a nurse who had contacted Ebola in Liberia and was brought to Emory University Hospital, treated. And one of the questions was, did you ever ask why? Why, Lord? Nancy Reitbold's response was this, I don't know that I ever asked why, God, or why. I know that I received peace from the Lord. Well, it doesn't mean that there weren't dark times. All of us in Liberia felt that the week that Dr. Brantley and I were really struggling, there was a spiritual battle going on. There were some very, very dark days. But also in the darkness, the Lord brought back into my mind His word and His peace. Starts inside of us. The Lord says, I know the plans I have for you. Plans for good and not for disaster. To give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord. That's a promise. God working, producing fruit. I did some looking back. Our first Servant Sunday project was October 17, 2010. That makes this number five. Producing fruit in every good work. More than just thoughts, more than just, it's literally letting God work us, producing fruit through our work. New Cumberland Church and Nazarene, being friends and neighbors, producing fruit in all work, parenting, being members of community, citizens of life, the place of your employment, producing fruit. Is your fruit grumbling or peace? Growing in the knowledge of God. The apostle said, I want you to know Christ in the power, or instead about himself, personal testimony, I want to know Christ in the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. Total submission to the Father. Somehow to attain the resurrection of the dead. And so he went on to say, I press on to possess the perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. Forgetting from the past, parenthetically learning from the past. Looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God in Christ Jesus is calling us. Growing in the knowledge of God. The Apostle Peter wrote, closed his second letter to the church. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you can save yourself and your hearers. Or excuse me, that was Paul's direction to his student Timothy. The Apostle Paul, or Peter wrote, therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard, that you do not be carried away by the error of lawlessness and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. How do we keep from falling? By growing. How do we keep from falling? By growing. How do we keep from falling? By growing. Have you got that one yet? How do we keep from falling? By growing. In the knowledge and the grace of God. Growing. The psalmist wrote, those who delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night, are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit in each season. Their leaves never wither. Whatever they do, prospers. Continually growing in the knowledge of God. Here's my question to you, another question. What are you doing to grow in your knowledge of God? So you went through Vacation Bible School as a kid. What are you doing? If you stop there, you're still a child in the faith. What are you doing to grow? Strengthened with God's glorious power. All of these others are done by the strength of God, that you may have all the endurance and patience you need. Do you see that one? When's the last time you prayed for patience? What was the fourth fruit of the Spirit? What was the fourth fruit of the Spirit? Do you really believe that? Have you received the Holy Spirit? God said you did. He gave it to you when you accepted Christ. So guess what? You got it. So why are you sitting around saying, Lord, give me patience. Lord, give me. You know what we really need? We need strength to enact what he's already given us. You don't need more patience. You've already got it. The Holy Spirit's given it to you. You've already got it. You've already got it.
I was thinking about this one morning this week. And so as I leave our place and I'm driving into the study and coming in Old York Road that day, and as I get toward Reesher Summit, in front of me there's this Mercedes coupe 8 miles below the speed limit. There's just something wrong with this picture. So here we go, creeping along. Behind a Mercedes coupe. Now, come on, friend. Oh, come on. Hurry up. Anybody that doesn't understand what I was feeling that morning? Don't need to. And there was that word. Enact what you've got. Enact what you've got. Yes, Lord. Deep breath. It's going to be all right. And take my time. So, you see, I understand. It's not more patience you need. All you need is an opportunity to use what God's already given you, and you need the strength that he has given you. And you want to know about that strength? Well, in another letter reflecting this same teaching, here's the strength God gives you. Paul tells about it in Ephesians. The strength is the power God exercised to raise Jesus from the grave and seat him at his right hand. Do you think that's enough strength for you? Now, it doesn't come from you. It comes from within you by the Holy Spirit, enacting what God has given to us, strengthened by God's glorious power. Jesus said, those who stand firm to the end will be saved. That's what Jesus taught. And filled with joy, always thanking the Father who has already rescued us from the kingdom of darkness. He's transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins, who has enabled us to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people in the light. God's already given that. Filled with joy. I know, I've been there. But Lord, if you understood what I'm dealing with today. And God says, I know. But Lord, I know. It's okay. You're okay, child. Understand who you are. I am with you. What happens, dear friends? What happens? If we let God grant us knowledge of his will with spiritual wisdom and understanding so that we might honor and please him, produce fruit in every good work, grow in the knowledge of God, strengthened by his glorious power, filled with joy. What if? Well, sing a song along with Jason and the team, and then whichever of the stewards is going to give us instructions about serving Sunday, and I'm not going to have a benediction because our worship continues today in service.